So I, well, I got to be with my wife, so I guess I'm gonna backslide to the back. So we know that, you know, that because of that fan over there is a reason why, and with the AC not working, that is certainly understandable. But it's thought about that. But in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14, our text says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." Let's pray. Dear Father God in heaven, we thank you for this even reminder, or this even, in some ways, a reproof to, as Brother Pack had mentioned, for those who don't consider themselves to be in such a state, but they are, and the times in which we thought we were not in such a state, but we were. Pray, Father, that you would use this passage in your word as it's being preached to restore the backslider from their backsliding. To, as was referred to earlier by Psalms 51, that the joy of their salvation would once more be evident in their lives. Father, we pray that you would lead and guide, direct, because you know the hearts. You know each one that's here. And though I may have studied and prayed and all these other things, we know that the Holy Spirit is the one who speaks through the preacher when he's in fellowship with God and in tune with the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would empty me of myself and fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I may preach the way you want me to preach, or what you want me to preach, and how you want me to preach it. This is such a great need in our day-to-day to consider this subject as we look at how deep it really is. We ask now, Father, that you would add your blessing upon your word now, that you would forgive us of our sins, prepare our hearts, Lord, that we would have soft hearts, not hard hearts, to receive it. We ask now, Father, for your name's sake, we ask this, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our Lord, and for his sake, amen. The backslider in heart. I've subtitled this Backslider Blues. You've probably heard about the blues, right? And how that there's always, you know, they're sad about something, generally speaking. And you've probably heard about the summertime blues. And you might have the summertime blues right now because you're hot, because the AC's not working. Well, let me tell you something. I was talking to Sister Pack a minute ago, and Brother Pack, I refuse by the grace of God to allow Satan to get an advantage to where it's going to bother me about not having AC. So he can go crawl back in his little hole, because the Bible says to resist, if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And that's the attitude that we need to have. I mean, our forefathers, they might have had fans. I remember fans, and we got a few fans going there like this, and that's good. But that, some of them didn't have electricity, and they had this kind of thing, and they, God bless their souls. I'd much rather have no AC with the hand of God upon me and upon a church than to have all the comforts that this world has to offer and be cold and dead. That, to me, when we don't have that attitude, that's an evidence of a backslidden heart. And let me just say, whether we want to admit it or not, every child of God has been backslidden sometime or another. in their life. As I thought about the backsliding blues, I thought about B.B. King. He's got a song. I don't really like it that much, but I like the title. The thrill is gone. The thrill is gone. When you got the backsliding blues, the thrill is gone. It has faded away. The thrill of your love for Jesus Christ has faded away. The thrill's gone. You got the backsliding blues when that happens. And that's no way to enjoy the Christian life. I can tell you that right now. I've been there, and all of us have been there. And I don't want any of us to have to be at any time singing the blues any more than we have to. Yes, there's sorrow. I don't mean that you're going to be on top of the world all the time and that you never sorrow. That's a bunch of nonsense. But I'm simply saying, like I often say, that we can be sorrowful yet always rejoicing in the Lord. But a person who's got backslides and gets a backsliding blues and loses the thrill of his first love in Jesus Christ and is growing cold is in a miserable condition. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit's not going to let you enjoy it. He's going to be grieved and he's going to be quenched and not going to let you stay in that state. Praise God for that. That's an evidence that we're children of God. Because it's miserable in that particular state. I remember the first time I heard a sermon on backsliding. The one I remember anyway. The first one I remember, I was in El Paso, Texas. And Tim Parrish was with me then at Fort Bliss. And there was a friend of ours there that was backslidden. I mean, this guy was a fun-loving, just great to be around, great sense of humor, and we fellowship with the Lord and all this stuff. But he was backslidden. He became backslidden, and his wife was concerned about him being unfaithful to her, and all these kinds of things were going on. And so Tim Parrish had a tape, a cassette tape. It's back in 1983. He had a tape by Joe Wilson called Jonah the Backslider. Maybe some of y'all remember that message. But, I mean, it was a great message. I mean, it was very convicting. But, you know, I remember, we were sitting in this fellow's living room. And he knew we were concerned about him. We had talked to him. But he sat in that living room and listened to that message and began to mock how Joe Wilson was saying Jonah the Backslider. And I'm like, what in the world? What happened to you? Who I had such good fellowship with? What happened to you? But that just goes to show you how far a person will go. Thankfully, he came back. But it was scary. Very scary. But it really shocked me. And woke me up to the reality that how far we can go if we don't deal with sin when it comes to it into our hearts and our minds. And I've always liked Joe Wilson's definition of being backslidden. It's a tough one. And it goes something like this, that if you are anywhere below the highest point that you've ever been in your spiritual life, you're backslidden. And I thought, whoa. But it makes sense, doesn't it? And really, that should concern us. It sounds tough, but it moves us to not make excuses for ourselves. That backsliding is much more common than we realize. So we need to be that much more determined by the almighty grace of God, of our loving God, to press on with the exhilaration of a runner who's running a race. Because I'm telling you right now, Satan, he is giving it his all to put every one of God's people in a backslidden state. He loves that. It can even happen in times of spiritual renewal. Remember Josiah? probably about the greatest king that Judah ever had. But in the days of Josiah, Jeremiah lived at the end of Josiah's reign. Notice what Jeremiah says there in chapter 3 and verse 6. The Lord said also unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. Now, granted, there may be some physical elements of that, but I think primarily what's spoken of here is spiritually. They're committing spiritual adultery against God, and idolatry, and serving, and having other gods before the God who made them, and the God who saved them. In fact, we see backsliding referred to in our text in Proverbs. We see it's referred to in the book of Jeremiah 13 times, more than any book in the Bible. And you can understand that, can't you? Considering the times in which he lived, very much like our time, I'd say. And so this is so very relevant for our day today. And then, of course, backsliding is mentioned in Hosea 3 times. And of course, there's many, they may not use the word backsliding, but there's references to the whole idea of backsliding throughout the scriptures. Backsliding, make no doubt about it, is highly displeasing to God, especially when people persist in it. Notice with me in Jeremiah 2:19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. And moves down in Jeremiah 5:6. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out then shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. Had got better, get worse. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm speaking boldly, but I'm definitely not speaking as one who's never been backslidden. You know, sometimes backsliding, nobody else knows it but you in your heart. The Holy Spirit is letting you know that. So I'm not saying I'm any better than anybody else. I can be backslidden the minute I walk away from this pulpit. That can happen. I pray God it wouldn't happen. So I'm not coming at this in a holier than thou attitude. I'm just saying boldly that we've got to pay this to mind. Seriously, for our own benefit, not to mention for the glory of God. So we want to look, first of all, at the backslider's heart. Next, we're going to look at the backslider's hindrance. And then, thirdly, we want to look at the backslider's help. Notice first, the backslider's heart. First part of our text, Proverbs 14, the backslider in heart. That's where it starts. It starts in the deep recesses of the heart. That only God can make a thorough searching of. So we got to go to Him constantly. As the old Puritans used to say, keep short accounts with God. How do you do that? You say, Lord, search me and try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, that your word would search me and would examine at my thoughts and the intents of my heart as to why I'm doing what I'm doing. You can be busy and lose the thrill. You can be busy doing stuff and active in religious service, and the thrill is really gone. You're doing it just out of duty instead of love. I'd rather do it out of love, wouldn't you? It's a whole lot more enjoyable than to do it out of mere duty. I grit my teeth, I got to do this. Well, there is a certain element of that, but that alone is going to get you into trouble. If it's not mixed with love, it's going to get you in trouble. And that's how people get burned out. They keep their eyes off of Jesus. They're not looking to Jesus. They're looking at, I got to do this duty. And I'm determined I'm going to do it. But if there's no love of Christ there, you're going to have some trouble. To find that we can lose that thrill. And again, this is at the heart that Satan aims for. When we got the shield of faith, what does that happen? When you got the shield of faith up before your heart, so to speak, what does it do? It quenches the fiery darts of that wicked one, Satan. That's what he's aiming for. He don't care about the outward appearance that much. He's more concerned about the heart. Because you know, if he gets to the heart, he's going to get the rest of it. He's going to affect the rest of your life. It's something we got to, I mean, it's sad, but our flesh and our sinful nature seems to be satisfied with just outward conformity to coming to church, reading your Bible, even praying, all those things, which are all good. But the heart's got to be in it. Lord, help me with my heart. It's just like the song we just sang. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it for thy courts above. Prone to wander, he's talking about. Yeah, we all are. And I think today, even more so, because it's getting more and more wicked. The iniquity is abounding. But you don't have to be a victim. You can be a victor in Jesus Christ. That's what I'd rather do. That's what's going to encourage the other saints of God. And that's what's going to glorify God. Yeah, you can go through the motions. But be cold as ice inside. There's no heartfelt, Brother Darlene was talking about. So Diane, I know Carol had a friend, Diane, there in Naples. But she was thinking about how heartfelt religion, prayers. When we have a lack of biblical enjoyment and things pertaining to his word, that's an evidence of a backslidden heart. When it doesn't thrill you. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying there's a backslidden heart. Understand? But when we are in that state of heart, it is so much different than when we're not backslidden. We enjoy communion with God. We enjoy praying to Him, and we enjoy reading His Word in our devotions. There is a pleasure there. But there's another evidence of a backslidden heart, and that is, again, kind of like duty, you're like a slave to it. You know, God has no slaves, per se, that are just slaves, that just do it because it's their duty. He wants love service. A backslider in heart finds obeying God as a burden to him. It's like a dutiful husband or wife. He or she tries to do their duty to their spouse, but fails utterly because he or she does not love their mate. They're doing it because it's their duty. And that's what they're supposed to do. But there's no love there. Everything is such a chore. That's what happens to the backslider in heart. Everything's such a chore instead of a joy. There's a lack of love there for Christ. God loveth a cheerful giver, doesn't he? That's not just talking about there in 2 Corinthians 9:7 about giving money. But I think we ought to be a cheerful giver of ourselves to God, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, according to Romans 12. But a backslider in heart will find it hard to obey and even harder to love. And then there's the bad temper, is another evidence of a backslidden heart. A grumpiness, a sour disposition, is a sign of a backslider in heart. Because when you have, when you're not backslidden, you're going to have a sweet temper about you. And those times, and there always are those times when our buttons get pushed, right? And we get upset. But if we are in communion with God and we're not backslidden, what happens? We are quick to say, I'm sorry for my outburst. And we repent, you see. That's what someone who's in sweet communion with God does. Doesn't want to stay in that condition. I mean, it's miserable, isn't it? Why would we want to do that? Well, that's just the sinful nature, isn't it? Does things that are just so unreasonable and don't make no sense. But then there is also, along with that, a backslidden, someone backslidden in their heart has a hypercritical censorious spirit that shows that they're backslidden. They have a spirit of fault finding, always wanting to speak against everything and everybody, doubting the motives of everyone, even when they don't have any concrete evidence that that person has got that kind of real motive, because from the fruit they can't find any evidence. 1 Timothy 6:3 says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising. That's a backslider who is in that condition. There's a lack of interest in the Word of God. And for someone who's a backslider in hearts, that's necessary for them to grow in the grace and applicable knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The heart is apathetic and indifferent to the Bible. And you find yourself not reading the Bible too much, and when you read it, it just doesn't speak to you. Your heart is cold and callous to it. There's a lack of interest in prayer as well for a backslider in the heart. Now, we need to be real. We need to be real, and we can't beat around the bush, and we can't play games. We're talking about people's lives being affected here. And God, the honor and glory that's due to him. When we have good communion with God and we're not backslidden, we pray. We cry even with strong crying and words that cannot hardly be uttered, and tears and groanings for those things concerning people that we care about. For a nation that we care about, for the families that we care about, for the church that we care about. Like Paul said there in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, that for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will not just prayer, but family devotions, family prayer together is, oh, well, we'll do it tomorrow, and we'll do it tomorrow, and we'll do it tomorrow, and we'll do it tomorrow. And next thing you know, you got the whole family backslidden from God. It's more than just a duty. I mean, it's really, when you think about prayer, it's much more than a duty. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Can you think of a child coming to their parents to eat dinner because it's their duty? No, it's a great privilege. It's a blessing. It's something to rejoice in. When we are so consumed with worldly amusements that our spiritual fellowship suffers, that's a sign of a backslider in heart. Oh, we got amusements available at our fingertips anytime we want. And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with playing ball or whatever it is you might do, as long as it's not sinful for us. But it's okay. But when that takes precedent over our spiritual communion with God, you're going to hurt for it sooner or later. Sooner or later. We find that there's a lack of interest in the conversion of souls and revival of souls. There's a lack of interest in it. A loving heart takes interest in the salvation of sinners. And we could talk about mission work, whether it's home or whether it's abroad. There's no interest. I was preaching yesterday at Walnut Cove and talking about that. I mean, there may be professing Christians. I don't know who I'm talking to. Might be unsaved, might be saved. But I just was saying, you know, there's so little interest in the souls of people who are headed to the way of eternal damnation and hell. What did Paul do? He could wish himself accursed from Christ so that his brethren according to the flesh would be saved. His heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that God would save them. When that's not there, there's a backslidden heart. There's a loss of interest when there is people being saved. It ought to rejoice our hearts when God saves somebody. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We love. I mean, the angels of God rejoice when someone's converted. And nobody on earth rejoices? That don't make no sense, does it? But that happens. Sadly, it happens. And the evidence of a backslidden heart is when people do not want to engage in serious, enjoyable spiritual conversation. It's all about what happened here and there and everywhere else and nothing spiritual. Oh, we got done with the spiritual stuff. We endured the sermon. I'm sorry, but it's the Word of God. And I'm supposed to preach it. But that's the evidence of a backslidden heart. That's what it is. Just fess up to it for your own good. And me too. Same thing. Backsliding breaks up churches. Backsliding ruins nations. Backsliding breaks up families. And backsliding will ruin your life. This is nothing to play with. And oh, how much more enjoyable life can be when we're not in that condition. But it just doesn't come natural. You've got to deliberately, meticulously have heart dealings with God every day and throughout the day. It's not a chore. Remember, if it's a chore, something's wrong.
Yes, it's hard on the flesh. I get that. But you say, Lord, help me. Just help me.
And God is always pulling through. That's what I thank God for. He always pulls through for you. When you get in that state of mind and that state of heart. Well, there's a lot of things we could mention here, but I'm going to have to move on about what a seared conscience and many other things we would say, the fear of man and all about ceremonies and outward forms and all that. But let's look at the backslider's hindrance. This is where we're talking about where it comes out of the heart. Now, in the heart, maybe nobody will notice, but you know, and God knows. It says that he shall be filled with his own ways. Now, ways are typically seen. Eventually, if it's in the heart, it's going to come out in the life if it's not dealt with properly. He'll be filled with his own works. They're not works of faith. They're dead works. He'll be filled with his own feelings about what he feels he wants to do, what he feels like. It's often very trying to live with backsliders. It's like trying to walk on eggshells without breaking them. You can't please them. They're fussing about every little thing. It's hard to live with people like that. They're filled with their own prejudices. What they say, and if anybody crosses their path, watch out. They're going to eat you up and spit you out. That's no way to live. But that's what happens. That's shown in the life. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own lustings. Lusting after all kinds of things, whether it's sexual or whether it's some other kind of desire that is unlawful. That if it was a sin that easily beset them when before they were saved and they had a challenge or so when they were saved, when they get backslidden, it's gonna just overtake their life. It's gonna be so strong that they're not gonna be able to handle it. The backslider heart will be filled with his own words. The way that he talks. What he says. What he doesn't say. He'll be filled with his own trials. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, they're not trials that necessarily God brought on him. In one sense, yes. But in another sense, no. He's bringing his trials on himself. He's the author of them, if you will, because he has backslid away from God. A backslider in heart will be full of his own folly. Here is somebody who has been under the sound of the word, even in a sound church, who's had the fellowship of God's people, who's had the witness of the Spirit, and now they turn their back on it. That's about as foolish as can be. And when I speak of folly, I'm not making fun. I'm simply saying it's nonsensical. It's foolish. It's full of folly. But that's what'll happen. Knowing the fountain of living waters, he has forsaken it and hewed out to himself cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water, according to Jeremiah 2, verse 13. What you think about, he's full of his own cares. He'll be filled with his own anxieties because he can't control what's going on in life. And so he's filled with cares. Full of delusions, deceptions, spiritual blindness. That's what can happen.
The God of this world blinds the unsaved, but he can do that kind of number on us, too. And blind us to the danger we are in. We make all kinds of excuses, go through all kinds of escape mechanisms, and blind to what's coming down the pike. I mean, think about David. Who would have known that a man after God's own heart would do what he did? He was backslidden. Look what happened. How far he went. It's tragic. Those things happen. He, the backslidden heart, is full of his own condemnation. He doesn't feel like praying. He gets condemned because he doesn't feel like praying, and he doesn't pray. And when he does pray, he's condemned because he realizes he doesn't have a right heart about it. He feels condemned that he's not going to church. He goes to church and is condemned because he's not being in the right state of heart. He doesn't read his Bible and he gets condemned. And then when he reads his Bible, he's condemned because he don't like it. It's full of his own condemnation. Doing things that they never thought they would ever, ever do. That's what's so scary. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can tell what you would do when you first begin to backslide? A person's conscience gets violated over and over and over and over again till they have a seared conscience and they have no feeling. And the word being preached at once arrested their conscience and caused them tears and caused them trouble in their soul now has no effect on them whatsoever. That's a scary, scary place to be. It's a burden. It can be a burden that gets so heavy. 1 John 5:16 talks about, if any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, he shall give him life for the thing, for that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that. He shall pray for it. There's a sin unto death. You can go so far and backslide. God's not going to remember when there about the man there in 1 Corinthians 5 Paul was telling him to discipline this man that had his own father's wife, and so that if he doesn't repent, he'll be delivered to Satan. In other words, he would be destroyed and he'd send the sin unto death, but his soul would be preserved. That's what can happen for a child of God. But even worse than that, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19 it says, while they promised them liberty, oh, I'm free, I can do whatever I want to do, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, which refers to Proverbs 26:11,
The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire.
In other words, a person goes back to their old way and never comes back to Christ. Ever.
It's like Judas, when Jesus spoke of him, it'd been better if he had not been born. I just pray that anybody in that situation, I don't know your hearts. I know the hearts of those on Sermon Audio who listen to this later on after I upload it. But I just plead with you to consider these things. Because there's going to be a time, and if you don't, your sinful ways will be like the millstone hung around your neck and you can be cast in the depths of hell. We find such a person described there in Jeremiah 8:5 that says, "Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return." In other words, we're talking about a backsliding that is perpetual. It never ends. And it takes a person to hell. I hope that's not the case with anybody. But there's hope. I'll briefly look at the last part of her text, the context of her text. "And a good man shall be satisfied from himself." A good man, though backslidden, can come from being filled with his own ways to be satisfied from himself. What does that mean? This is the hope. The backslider is filled with his own ways, filled with himself. You ever heard somebody being full of themselves? First time I remember hearing that, I was working at Sears in the shop. I think it was in Greensboro. And this one lady was talking about her son being full of himself. I'm like, ooh, boy. It's not good. But it's so much better to be satisfied from yourself. What does that mean? It means that when there's no satisfaction in ourselves, and there's always an imperfection that we realize, which prevents self-righteousness. A good man, after the pattern in the scriptures, most deeply knows his faults, and it pains us. There's a humility there, and there's a joy with that humility, because you know it's not of you, it's from God. It's an evidence that you are a child of God. To have that humility and sensitivity. There's an aspiring pushing forward to know that our aspirations are not vain. It's not the total accomplishment of our ideal that we see in the scriptures, but the cherishing of it that makes the difference. That's the true delight, when we're cherishing. You know, who's the ideal? Jesus. We're not there yet. But it's the cherishing of it and the knowing that one day we will be like Christ. It's only when we can say, "Nevertheless I live," as Paul says there in Galatians 2:20, "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Good man is to be satisfied from himself and satisfied with Jesus. The more that Christ lives in our lives, the more we're satisfied from ourselves, the more that we will protect ourselves from being backslidden.
the more hope we have in that. If you are a child of God, God loves you. That's why the scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, that we cast all our care upon Him because He cares for us. He knows the situation that you may find yourself in if you're backslidden. He wants you to go to Him and to call upon Him because He cares. Even there in Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah 3:22, look what the Lord says, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." Be encouraged. Think of the backsliders. Think about Jonah, who God restored and used him mightily. Think about Elijah. Think about Peter. Think about John Mark. Think about the man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Though a lot of things were given to them, they backslid. But God's love pulled them through, didn't He? He pulled them through. That's why Jude says in Jude 1:21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Guard your heart. Meditate upon the love of God. And with joy, like the Apostle Paul, the goodness of God leads us to repentance there in Romans 2:4. And the love of Christ will constrain you to want to live for Him. And like 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, but I plead with you, and I urge you, and beseech you as an ambassador of Jesus Christ to be reconciled unto God. Remember, as the book of Revelation says there, the Lord says to the church there in Ephesus, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, backslider, remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. We're just talking about repentance there. Brother Pack was. Turn away from it. Don't make excuses. Don't go off and try to do something so you don't think about it. Deal with it now. Don't wait. It's not worth it. Like I say, who knows how far you'll go if you don't. I believe it's Brother Sister Pack who wrote down this quote for me to use sometime, which is appropriate for this message. Two natures struggle in my breast. The one is foul, the other is blessed. The new I love, the old I hate. The one I feed will dominate. Starve that old nature. Feed the new nature with the Word, with communion with God. I remember when I was in the Army, it was a classic place where those who professed to know Jesus Christ backslid. A number of them had backslidden. But God restored so many of them too. And we had good fellowship together. Because I know God does that. He said in my life, He's done it in your life, I'm sure. Let us not get away from that. God's going to heal our backslidings. Hosea 14:4, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from them. One day, there won't be no backsliding. Oh, I look forward to that time. But you might be here this morning and you've never been thrilled. You didn't lose the thrill. You ain't never got it. You've never been saved. You've never known what it's like to fall in love with Jesus Christ and seeing yourself so awful of a sinner that you deserved eternal damnation, and rejoice that Jesus would even think about you. But he not only thought about you in eternity past, but he went to the cross and he died the awful death there on Calvary to suffer for sin. Man, you talk about joy. You talking about the thrill. Don't lose the thrill. You don't have to.
If you're saved, you choose to. And that's an awful sign of I don't know what.
But maybe you've never had that thrill. May God have mercy on you and cause you to flee from your sins and flee to the Christ who died that his people may live forever. And may it never be spoken of you like those in Hosea's day. And my people are bent to backslidings. They are just bent. They just are determined to backslide. It don't matter how hard you preach or how gentle you preach or no matter how you may weep for their souls or whatever the case might be, they are determined to backslide. That's an awful, awful, awful sign of an unbeliever. May God have mercy on us. May we enjoy God's best for us, or be miserable in this life, and if you never repent, for all eternity. Well, thank you for your attention to the Word of God. Let's turn.